working in our bodies and our minds, receive with all simplicity the truth that is found in your Son Jesus. Together we behold Him, Jesus Christ, your Son, as He sees us in Him. Our bodies are healed. Fear is nowhere to be found. Doubt is expelled. Together as a church, we are edified and Jesus is glorified. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel 8. Glory to God. We have 7 lessons. How many have we done so far? Huh? How many is this? What? The first one? The third. All right. Matthew's Gospel 8. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. Hallelujah. Now there's a story in there, and there was a centurion who had a servant that was sick. And so he, and the first thing, you know, all the stories in the four Gospels are not for reading. Okay? The Word of God is to be believed. So when I read them, I'm not listening or reading the testimony. In other words, I'm reading the Word of God in a story. I'm reading the power of God in a story. I'm reading Jesus Christ in a story. So unlike when we were younger and then we were in the CRK class, CRS, CRK, where you had to rehearse the story, know the story, you write an examination. Sometimes you're not careful, that's what you're also doing. Knowing the story to pass an examination or to be able to say to people, I understand what is there. Or, let's bring it home to answer study group questions. No. You've got to get it right. It's the Word of God in the story. So when you read those stories like that, you see the Word of God in the story. Now here, this centurion had a servant who was home. We're going to look at all that when it comes to using your faith for someone that you know. I'd seen Brother Higgins say this many times until I had the reason to carry my brother who was used to be very ill. So I practically carried him on my faith where together in the ministry. And he used to have bouts of sickness and diseases. But throughout that period, my mom, her dad, himself, you know, took knowledge of the fact that he never had a single bout nor had to go to the hospital. But later on, somehow he had to use his faith by himself. Sometimes the forces can pray for him, you come out. I remember one day, I was going out, my dad said, he's lying on the bed, come pray for him. I said, when I come, I said, no, you can't do that. He's commanding me to come and pray for the sick. He said, come. So I said, I'm going somewhere. He said, no. She said, you are a man of God, you cannot be in this house. God has given you this thing for everybody, including your family. So my dad literally took my hands and put it on the sick. My brother was well. You get it? So there are limits to how you can use your faith for others. And we're going to also look at that. But before we go there, let's talk about ourselves first. Amen. So in this story, you have the the man now asks Jesus, said, my servant lies at home sick. Now, in this particular account, Jesus now says, I'll come to heal him. There's a lesson in here. I'll come and heal him. In verse 7. Then the man, in verse 8, says, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof. Then he says, you know, sometimes what you could be particular about there is, I'm not worthy. But you see, saying that doesn't heal the fly. Amen. Say you are not worthy does not heal a fly. I'm not worthy. And some guys, that's all they're going to see in there. I'm not worthy that I should come under my roof. No, that's really not what I'm particular about. When I read that story, I read, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Speak the word only. Then he gives a narrative. The narrative there, before we read what he said, I want to read what Jesus said. Jesus, upon what the man says in verse 9 and 10, says, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel, because the man was not a Jew. Now, what did he say? He said something that you and I ought to know. Now, you know, naturally, if he says, Jesus says, I'm coming to your house. You say, yes, yes. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about healing, doing good and healing all over the person, therefore God was with him. And you've heard the story of how people touched his clothes, they were healed. The Mark 5 story, he said, yes, yes, yes. That would have looked like all I need is the presence of Jesus and I will be healed. All I need is for my pastor to be there. But he drives home something there that you and I need to take care of. Because if your pastor is there, the question is, what would he do? If your pastor is in there, what would he do? Would he just show up? And that's it. But the man says, speak the word only. The man knew that words transmit the healing power of God. He said, speak the words. In other words, he knows that a man, all right, invests his authority in his words. Whatever authority a man has will be the authority of his words. Are you there? Whatever authority a man has will be the authority of his words. So he says, speak thy word only, your servant hears me. Probably will be healed, pardon me. I'll just bring Simon into the picture. Then he says, I am a man under authority. Look at that. Having soldiers under me, and I say to this, go, and he goes. I say to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. He said, I'm a man, and this is not a Jew, said, I'm a man under authority. And he knows that the way people in authority use the authority is by what? Words. By words. So I say, I say to one, go. In other words, people in authority need not be physically present before they are obeyed. Their words carry the authority. Hallelujah. Because if Jesus were to come into his house, he will yet speak to the sickness. So that's a huge lesson. That's a huge lesson. Hallelujah. You know, I shared a story with you the other day, the very first day, about the pastor, can you remember? that I just picked the phone. And I told you that why I'm bringing it up again is because the pastor just texted me a couple of minutes ago. And let me tell you what he said. He said, I can't get it. Let me quote it wrong. But something like, I don't know what would have happened if you did not make that call. I don't know the person. Just this evening. Because he was being seen as someone condemned to go and die. And I didn't see him. I didn't have to travel. I didn't have to go. I just had to say something. Because whether I go or I don't go, my going is not more powerful than what I say. If you will not believe, if I speak on the phone, you won't believe if I live in your house. Are you there? So, a man's words carry his very authority. I say to one, and he goes. I say to another, praise the Lord. Now, notice in the same Matthew's Gospel chapter 8, verse 13. Look at the statement Jesus makes here. Don't miss this. Go thy way, and as you have believed, so it's done on you. As you have believed. Hallelujah. As you have believed. Praise God. You know, we said the other day, it's not like God just moves around and when he's tired, people stop getting healed. No. People release their faith. Whatever Jesus says, whatever he does, whatever he's praising to, is for you to release your faith. It is done to you according as you have believed. Praise the Lord. So in other words, the power of God flows with the direction of our believing. Don't forget, now, I'm not going to go to this today, but Jesus wanted to come to his house. He, by his faith, gave direction to the power of God. By his faith. You know, some will have said, I come to your house. You will say, when are you coming, sir? You know, and they get it wrong. And they go, I'm not worthy for you to come. Why should you come? Should I bring him around? You know, stuff like that. Just like in Mark 5, they were wondering, what do you mean by who touched your clothes? I mean, look at many people touching your clothes. They are even feeling it. They are even tearing it. The same clothes was shared by who? By soldiers. In mockery. Some years ago, 21 now, praise the Lord. 21 years ago, we had this Holy Ghost meeting. And just before the meeting began, the team that was putting up that meeting began to strive. You know, began to strive. They began to just raise silly issues. I don't want to give you the details. You will not like it. Silly issues. Issues that, you know, sometimes when you're a pastor and they bring a matter for you to solve, you put your hand on your head and say, my God, is this where we are in this ministry? He looked at me one time. We were planning a major meeting. We were just done with your own, you know, there was believers meeting before. The believers meeting where you attended. At the same hall. And we're planning. We were praying. Imagine, we're fasting and praying. And the brethren were thinking about something else. So, people are really carnal. I thought before a meeting like Believers Convention, World Changers Conference, you are praying, they are fasting, and they are still striving. What if we are not fasting? You put Living Word Media in your ear, and you are cursing. What if it's not in your ear? Are you following what I'm saying? There was a man who finished a fast one day, and somebody said something to me, annoyed him. He said, he just went on one table. Bah! The table split into two. Bah! If not that I was fasting. The pastor said, please keep fasting, keep fasting. They were fighting. So the meeting began. Now, they were fighting. Now, there were people fighting us who were outside, saying they must not hold. These are heretics. They are heretics. They are not, you guys, a messenger of Satan. That he's preaching false doctrine. They went around. So people that had told you they were coming, they'll say, I'm not coming again. Some will lie. Some will say, they told us you were the devil. They were telling the members. And the members were fighting themselves. We had prayed, though. We had prayed. So when the meeting began, particularly when you are fighting someone and he's one leading the worship, then he begins to sing some songs that require, we bow down. He said, ah, what now? How many times? We bow down. Oh, now, how many times? What's wrong with this person? He began to strive. So when the meeting was over, then I had a post-meeting briefing. I was not there, but I was told that did you notice? There are people that were serving before the meeting. Did you notice there was the power of God was not really tangible? We're analyzing the meeting. They said, you know, yes, yeah, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. They didn't say it to me. I finally got to know, but said something's wrong. But then there was someone, his name is now a pastor. Pastor Benga Akintokun. He used to be a senior. He was the Bible study secretary of LASU CF. He was my junior in school. He said that was the meeting he received a call to ministry. That he had never seen the power of God in demonstration. In fact, in West Alex, he wrote, you remember I showed you the story? He wrote the story on Facebook, I think 2011 or so. He wrote the testimony. He said, today will not be complete if I don't mention. He called it Believers Convention. That's what he called it in his testimony. That was the same meeting. My own team said the power of God was not there. Why? Because they gave it a direction. You understand? Your strife will give it a direction. Your doubt will give it a direction. If God could just force things on people, as I'm speaking to you, there will be nobody unsaved in the world. There will be nobody unsaved in the world. I've seen people say, after my prayer, after my fasting, after everything, and God did not do it. That's how you know they were never believing. So what? So, they gave direction to it. They gave direction to it. They gave direction to the power of God by the things they were saying. Every time we organize a conference, I tell people, watch what you say. Maybe somehow the power goes off. You had planned, the power goes off. Don't say, would this not just go? Everything is fine. Hallelujah. We're going to have a great camp meeting, a great convention, because your words give direction. See, after I prayed, I've done this for I can't remember how long. Every time I'm coming to preach, as I live wherever, anywhere I go in the world, the last things I do before I come up is to speak. What a great meeting is going to be. God was taught. I talked to myself. Power of God is in demonstration. Because if I pray without speaking, and being definite in the words I speak, I'm giving no direction to what I prayed about. Learn to put premium on your words. The man says, speak the word only. And Jesus said, this is great faith. I haven't found, there's no, none in Israel. And Jesus says to him, according as you have believed. Now let's look at it like that. I know God will do it someday. Reply me. When I say, just say, according as you have believed. I know God will do it someday. Be it done unto. Are you talking to me? I hope God will take away this pain. According as you have believed, be it unto you. I thought that if I'd fasted and I'd done this, God would do it. According as you have believed, be it unto you. That's what you are going to get. That's what you are going to get. Someone told me, he said, well, I think Jesus is just a mere story that is used to hoodwink Africans. So when he hoodwink Africans, they put them in slavery. I said, you have what you say. Yeah, I don't understand you. Jesus will remain a fable to you. Salvation will be a fable to you. Salvation will be a mere conjecture, and you will go to hell. Because that is where those who call salvation a fable, that is where they end up. And God is not going to do anything about it. Are you there? He's not going to do anything about it. According as you have believed. According as you have believed, so it is unto you. What did the man believe? Speak your word only, and my servant will be whole. Look at Psalm 107 verse 20. He sent forth his word and healed their diseases and delivered them from their destruction. Look at the key word. He sent his word. In other words, the word of God will do what the power of God does. He sent his word. He sent his word. He sent his word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Brother Hagin told the story of one time he went with Pastor Hagin. I almost said Hagin Jr. That would have been a scene. Pastor Hagin is now 81 years of age. So he had this air condition. And then he got to the doctor. The doctor said, you can't hear anymore. You won't be able to hear. The boy won't be able to hear anymore with air. And more so warned him that he shouldn't use water in the air again. So he said he took the son and went to the car. And they were driving home. And he asked, Papa, did you hear what the doctor said? He said, we both heard him. The boy is 14. He said, so what are you going to do about it? He said, nothing, it's your ear. What are you going to do about it? Papa, I want to swim. Then you have to use your faith and believe God. Because if you go swim like this, he said, you won't hear again. He said, so I'm going to believe God. He said, exactly. Believe God to be healed. No, very simple. And the young boy then, how many years ago? Maybe 67 years ago. The young boy just simply said, well, I believe God that my healing is mine. The power of God is working in my body. Say, all right. So do what healed people do. The boy went to swim. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, because he hadn't read some magazines. He hadn't heard some testimonies of some guys who went for healing and never got healed. Those things will bring fear. You hear, a man of God just fell off the ground. Eh? An anointed man of God. Eh? It's not Jesus, oh. Eh? He said, that sister. Everybody prayed for her. Everybody. The more you say things like that, you form a faith persuasion. Ah, everybody. Something, a preacher who's going to be the Lord now says something. Yoruba preacher, I loved what he said. I just watched a clip. And they asked him a question on, I think, LTV8. They said, in Yoruba, they asked him, what if you pray for somebody and he doesn't get healed? I'll pray for the next person. I just like that statement. He said, because God never said nobody will get healed. So, wow. I'll just keep praying. Hallelujah. But when you have read things, you've read things. Hosea, and the boy just went and jumped into the water and began to swim. If you had read, what's this thing on this app? WebMed. If you have stored a lot of knowledge, you start thinking, when the water enters this place and it does this, deafness, school of deaf and dumb. Hallelujah. I used to harass my doctor friends in those days. I don't do it again. I'll tell them, whenever I see them reading medicals, I say, I'm not in your book. They say, ah, what do you mean? My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. But I wasn't saying that on jokes, really. I was saying it as a firm persuasion. Amen. Are you following this? So he said, according as you have believed, so it is done unto you. I told you yesterday, was it yesterday on Tuesday, that look at the children of Israel. 3 million people, only two took God at his word. That looks like a failure. Only two. You know, you can ask everybody in Israel then and say, who left Egypt and got to Canaan? They'll say nobody. You know why? Because the two are not significant. But two people took God at his word. Hallelujah. Are you following this? In the same chapter, Matthew 8. Glory to God. Jesus now goes to the house of Peter. And the wife's mom laid there sick of a fever. It touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto him. Now, it almost looks like he just entered. The woman didn't see him. Just said, bam. Then she got up. Sir, I'm healed, though. Who touched me? No, but Matthew gives you a better narrative. Yes, he laid hands, but notice in verse 16. And when evening was come, they brought unto him men that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirit with what? His word. And healed all that were sick. In other words, Jesus kept using his words. So whether you are in the healing meeting, or you are at home, he just spoke the words. And how did they get healed? They didn't get healed because he spoke. They got healed because they believed. They believed what he said. Hallelujah. As a younger person 1 year back, we had this meeting in a secondary school. And so they asked me to come to the boarding house. There was a fellow who said he couldn't move his body, couldn't move his legs, couldn't move. He was just motionless. They could just hear him breathing. And so they were praying around him, a lot of brethren. They were praying. It was a boarding house hostel, a boarding house. And they were shouting, Jesus, Jesus. Everybody was screaming. Oh, Father, do it. Oh, Father, do it. The noise was loud, but because I came for a program there, they asked me to come. So I went in there. So I said, what are you guys doing? They said, they are calling the power. I said, hold on. I said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. That's not how I stopped. I said, get up and come down. It was on the bunk. That was something they refused to say. I said, get down. You know, the man just stood up and got down. The way they were praying was like God was touch Christian with his power. Yeah, pray more. Pray more. Lord, do it! Lord, do it! I said, get down. And he got down. I said, go and have a shower. Oh, I look like a magician. Now, what did I do? They obviously made the power available, but didn't give it any direction. I guess sometimes they are scared of saying, get down. So it won't fall down from the bed. So the prayer will not be double. I said, calm down. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Faith always has an action. Faith has an action. I had to get down. And the young man just got down and began to walk. So, according as you have believed, even if you lay hands on someone, what do you want the person to believe? The headache is gone. Go check your body. It's gone. That is something to believe and act upon. Speak the word only and your servant is whole. Sometimes we say very neutral things. I know Satan will not have the last laugh. What does that mean? Are you doing a comedy? You haven't said anything. I know whatever anybody wishes towards me in this family, it will not come to pass. You've not said anything. I'm the one that will take care of my children to the end of life. You have watched too many movies. Faith affirmations are very direct. And there's no doubt. There's no double speak about it. Glory to God. In chapter 17. Where they brought someone to Jesus and said, your disciples could not heal him. Let's just pay attention to what he said. They asked in 19, why could we not cast him out? Then it says in verse 20, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Don't forget, he's talking about a sickness and a disease. You shall say unto it. Not you shall describe it. You shall say unto it. In other words, if you look at the healing ministry of Jesus, the healing ministry of Jesus function primarily by what he says, or what he said, or what the beneficiary said. He said, you will see. So Jesus is anointed, Acts 10:38, with the Holy Ghost, yeah, then with power, he went about doing good. Listen carefully. He went about doing good to whoever he wills. Is that what he did? No. He went about doing good as he passes by your house, the good drops in your house. No. He everywhere Jesus was, the power was there. But men had to release their faith. Men had to believe. There's a story in Luke 5. He's there, and Luke says, the power of the Lord was present to heal. But the people in the convention were Pharisees and Sadducees who were there to question him. They didn't come to get healed, even though I believe they must have been sick in their bodies. Because you don't have that kind of doctrine that you're not sick. And they were saying, how are you the Son of God? Let us see your explanation in the book of Isaiah. And all that. The room was filled with doubting people. Now, if you were to look at that kind of room, you say, ah, what kind of room is this? God is not here. You mean you, because you think that the power of God being somewhere is an atmospheric feeling, a keyboard playing in the background. But the atmosphere was an atmosphere of guys filled with unbelief. Remember one time like that? I was preaching at Oriwu College Fellowship. That should be 93. And we had just, they had this issue with the Muslim society. So, and the next room now had the Muslims. They purposely chose that period to meet. So they were shouting. Now, initially we had had this conflict with Deeper Life Bible Church on who was going to take care of the school fellowship. So after wrestling with our fellow brethren in Christ, so that we can have access to the place, the other kind of brethren showed up. So on that particular Friday, there was a whole lot of noise. They were making noise, beating drums. No matter what keyboard atmosphere they create, it won't happen. I'm talking about a classroom that is a wood. I mean, wooden demarcation. They were making noise. You know? And right there, I said, if you are sick in your body, come. You know, you'll say, there's no hallelujah. When you can hear noise, that's enough atmosphere for you. And then they showed up. Virtually everybody I laid hands on got healed. And the noise was still very high. In other words, faith is what gives an atmosphere to the power of God. It's not what people are doing around you. And these guys were shouting, they were doubting. And then some guy, praise God. Some guy had his friend. The guy's crippled. Some guy had his friend. Now, before we go to what happened, did you notice that even when the guy was getting healed, the critics were still talking? Some guys are just born that way. And they passed the guy through the roof. And the Bible says, Jesus saw their faith. Faith as an action. There can't be inaction in faith. He saw their faith. Glory to God. But don't forget, the power of God was present to heal, yet the people around there didn't want the power of God. And they were religious people whom you would have thought naturally wanted the power of God. Hallelujah. Watch this. So the power of God, Jesus went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Matthew 9:29. Say, it's my call. Say, it's my call. Yep, it is. A guy came to Jesus in verse 27. Two blind men crying and saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. That's what Yorubas will call Oriki. You are the mightiest of the mightiest. You are the lion of the tribe of Judah. The Judah and all the lions. That's not faith. Oh Lord. You are able to do. And you say those nice things. Some guys think by singing high praise. That's faith. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then he said unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? Then they said, yes, Lord. Let's take verse 29 together. According to your faith, be it unto you. See, it's consistent now. According to what you believe. According to what you believe. Years ago, we were having this meeting, and I'm preaching, and I said to myself, I wasn't going to pray for the sick. I said, because I wanted them to teach and use their faith themselves, so I was teaching. So as I was teaching, unknown to me, there was a sister whose part of her body had paralysis. So I didn't know, I just put my hands on her like this, and saying, you know, the power of God is here. Not knowing that she had said before the meeting that I was going to lay hands on her, and she was going to be healed. So I just said, the power of God is here. And I was just joking. I didn't feel anything. Just like I'm not feeling anything now. I didn't feel anything. I didn't think. It's not like the power of God, you know, I just felt something. I didn't feel anything. Because I had made up my mind not to feel anything, not to have anything. But she released her faith and said, "He's going to lay hands on me and I will be healed." And she was healed without my knowing. According to your faith. Be it unto you. According to your faith. Be it unto you. According to your faith. Be it unto you. How did Jesus know faith? By what they said. Faith and doubt are located in what you say. You can speak very religiously, and what you have said is doubt. In Mark 5, there was a woman who had an issue of blood who said, we'll look at that case later on, "If I but touch the hem of his clothes, I will be whole." She was definite. And two things happened in Mark 5, from verse 25 to 34. The woman says, "If I touch his clothes," he touched the clothes of Jesus, she was healed, Jesus found out what happened. Now watch this. As Jesus, so I said, "Come on, tell me what went on." So she told Jesus all that had happened. She told Jesus how that the doctor said she was going to die. Or she was going to live with it for the rest of her life. How that she was going for Tuesday appointments. And then being injected. How she was on admission. Sometimes 14 days. But in the middle of it, when she heard of Jesus, then she started saying, "Anytime he's around and I see him, I will touch his clothes, I'll be healed." Notice, Jesus did not initiate it, she did. Jesus did not initiate that, she did. She said that. We'll look at all that later. She said that and she touched his clothes. The key thing I want you to observe is, as soon as she told that story, don't forget, Jesus was going with Jairus to Jairus' house because Jairus' daughter at that point was supposed to be sick. As soon as the woman finished her testimony, I'm sure Jairus and his mother are saying, "Look, this woman, we thank God for your life. Go, yes, you are healed. My daughter is there." She was saying that. They came back and told Jairus, "Your daughter is dead. Don't trouble the master further." Now, Jairus was there. He heard what the woman said. He heard how she initiated it. Then Jesus turned to Jairus and said, "Fear not. Only believe." In other words, fear is a product of things we hear. Why do you think children will cross the road? Why do you think children? Yeah, I know. We're having this conversation a couple of times. For a couple of weeks ago, and we said, imagine when we were younger, we used to. I can't call my dad being wary of us crossing the road. We're crossing the road in primary school, just crossing. We go to church. But I remember one time like that, I decided to walk home from school myself, like a hero. And I did. And from there, they told me, I'm walking. But now, by the time you read the newspapers, and you read all sorts of things, Bado, kidnapper. In fact, for your son to go to the gate, don't go and open the gate for anybody. Where did the fear come from? You read something. Are you there? So fear is a product of what we hear. And what we read. That's why we said on Monday, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So as soon as he said that, Jesus knew what the words could do. Can you imagine? Jesus is there and he knew that even the fact that he was present, the fact that the power of God was present, as long as fear is present, nothing was going to happen. He said, "Jare, there we go." No. He knew Jairus had a call. He had a call. He said, "Fear not. Only believe." Because words always paint images. You know, if I mention, for example, if you see someone now, and then the person introduces himself and says, "My name is Shegun Onoyinka," you say, "Okay, fine." You register the person's image. If I say, "Shegun Onoyinka asked you to come," without thinking, my face comes up. Words transmit images. They do. So as soon as he said, trouble not the master, what is in the mind of Jairus? Burial ceremony. Ha, I won't have a daughter again. Ha. He said, fear not, only believe. In other words, he had something to do. He had something to do. Oftentimes when I'm taking a stroll, and I hear some horrible words, they just come back, something you had read. I respond immediately. On the road, you think I'm crazy? Because I know there are words. You can only paralyze words with words. Thoughts don't stop words. Only words paralyze words. Release your faith. Say something filled with the faith of God, the faithfulness of God and His power. Glory to God. Brother Higgins said when he was sick, and then all the doctors passing that, this guy won't be. He said he was reading health magazines and he said this kind of sickness, they don't live up to 16. And he got the sickness when he was 15, going to 16. So he was believing. Then the mom called, I know, and then they tell you, it happened to your uncle, so and so, your grand uncle. You know, people can tell you story. They say, in fact, in our family, that's how it is. So. One auntie like that, that's what we hear generally. Hallelujah. Someone was sharing with me today how something happened to his our brother and said, was similar, she said, was similar to what happened to my mom. I said, that's okay. Don't join events. Don't join events. So they brought the preacher to Brother Higgin and he said, the man just said, told him, don't worry, everything will be over soon. So he was so happy. Hey, son, don't worry, everything will be over soon. So oh, glory. So he said, he now left the room, went to see the mom and maybe the other aunt. So he tried to eavesdrop what they were saying. The preacher was asking the mom, what's his favorite hymn now? So we sing it at his funeral. So as soon as he heard that, he said, I'm not dying yet. He just spoke up. I'm not gone in 10 years. I won't be gone in 20 years. I won't be gone in 40 years. I won't be gone in 50 years. I won't be gone in 60 years. I won't be gone in 70 years. You have to speak up at that moment. That's what the moment is saying, Adonai, we worship you. Or my leave worship. Hallelujah. Son of God, you are so good. No, it's not of God. Said, I won't be gone in 20 years. That's why when the doctor told me, said this kind of thing is incurable, I said, I'll be back in 2 weeks, it will be gone. He said, you don't know what I'm saying. No, I said, you don't know what I'm saying. Don't say it again. Hallelujah. That's medicine. This is the power of God. Respond immediately. Immediately. If I look at the way Mark puts it, he said, immediately they said that, Jesus turned to Jesus and said, don't be afraid, only believe. So if it was all what God will do, you would just say, you're afraid of me? No shaking. Just be afraid. You see my power. Be afraid though. If I fear very well, in spite of your fear, no. It's your call. Hallelujah. Say, I am a believer. God is the performer. Hallelujah. Believers don't get the power to walk. Believers believe the power will work. God is the performer. I am the believer. Amen. Are you there? You know, it's like hands were laid on you, you got home, then the pain increased. Hands were laid on you, things got worse. Or you just released your faith. You slept. Like we used to say in secondary school, you now had relaxing fever. You know relaxing fever? You know, it leaves in the morning, comes back at night. Or is it comes in the morning, leaves at night? Anyone? Well, where was your portion at that point? That's what we used to call it. Then it comes up again, says, something that I believed for. Fear not. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, watch this. Doubt, fear, unbelief will all die unborn until they are spoken. Learn not to verbalize fear. Don't put fear in words. If it stays in your mind, it stays as a temptation. Don't rehearse what fear is saying. Don't rehearse what unbelief is saying. Matthew 6:31 says, take no thought saying that it's anxiety is in words. Now, when it's still on your mind, it's still a test, a temptation. Of course, learn to renew your mind often and ensure that it doesn't stay in your mind long enough for you to whisper it. Some guys, the best of the word they speak is in the service. Some guys, all the best of God's word they say is when they are sharing with somebody. But when they are alone, no. They are very good at talking about it. They can explain it to you. They are very good at singing about it to others. They are very good about arguing it. But when it comes to saying it, to practice it, they won't. Hallelujah. I'm a doer of the word. Say, I'm a doer of the word. So doubt and fear. You know, in Isaiah 54 verse 17, when he talks about no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You know, literally what he was talking about was fearful thoughts. That when they come, you will not be afraid. Every weapon that forms against you shall not prosper. So whatever stands against you in judgment, you will condemn. In other words, it's something you are going to talk about. So thoughts, as they come, don't verbalize fearful thoughts. Don't verbalize doubtful thoughts. Amen. You know words are vital. I used to say this. If you believe that everything you say comes to pass, how would you treat your words? You know, some of us think words are just ordinary. Words are not ordinary. Let's start with something very basic. You know, in Romans 10, say, what said it? The word is neither in your heart, no matter. It's the word of faith that we preach. If you confess your mouth, the Lord should believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. With the heart, man believes on righteousness, with the mouth, confesses means of salvation. Then it says, you know, God is just upon all that call upon his name, that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then it says, how shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe someone they had not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Listen very well, Lou. That means that salvation, getting born again, the most important thing that happened to you in your life was because somebody spoke. Hallelujah. Somebody preached. Of course, we're not like the person that said he got born again in his mother's womb. You know? What an incarnation that he needs to be saved. You get it? So, salvation. You just thought, okay, just went to meet someone and told the person, you know, Jesus Christ died for your sins and, you know, he rose for your justification. For you, it's just an ordinary statement. Paul calls it the demonstration of the Spirit, which is the power of God. I'm talking about that day under the sun, very dry atmosphere. He just said, you know, Jesus Christ, sometimes you yourself, you even need the salvation. Say, Jesus Christ died for you. You know, the Bible says, and the guy says, yeah. So what are you saying now? The guy says, I believe it. Immediately he says that, or she says that, eternal life is imparted in our spirit. And the Bible says, what you just did is the power of God. Words. Look at what happened in Acts 5. I don't remember the verse. I think it's 20 or 19. Where the angel said to Peter, he said, go and speak the words of life. Go and speak the words of life. In Acts 10, what did the angel say to Cornelius? Who will tell you words whereby you will be saved? Words. Don't say words. Say words. So, that means words are powerful. Words impact eternal life. Words. Words are powerful. So, you know, you will now determine how your words will be. You know that Paul says that if I came in the excellency of speech, he said your faith will stand in the wisdom of men, not the power of God. Which means, you know, wrong doctrine can send people to hell. So that means words are powerful. Words. 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 Let's go further. What edifies the church? Again, 1 Corinthians 14:3 and 5. Prophecy. What's prophecy? Speaking. Words build up. Words. 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 James 3:1. It said, if you do not offend in words, you don't offend in all. Words also cause you to sin. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. So words can corrupt people. Words can damage people. That's why as parents, your children will rise to what you say. Call them goats, they will eat grass. Yes. Yes. You don't say words. Don't say I didn't mean it. What does that mean? You didn't mean what? No, you said it. You said it. I didn't mean it. Oga, say the right thing. Learn not to say what you feel. Say what you believe. Learn not to say what you feel. Say what you believe. Learn not to say how you feel. Say what you believe. You know, if you did that, it's not likely there will be much strife in relationships. It is just rather than say how you were hurt, how you were offended, how it is wrong, you just say, well, this marriage, this relationship is going forward. We are strengthened and we are walking in the light of life. That's not how you feel. But the point is that how you feel is already what is going on. Talking about it doesn't make it change. Okay, you saw a mountain. You say, mercy mountain. Now, the question is that you don't have to say it. We can see it. I already saw you on the bed. You are shaking. You are shaking like bitter leaf or water leaf or all the leaves. Then the next thing in your mouth is, I've really been like this yesterday. Okay. That's exactly what is going on. What about saying, God's power is working in me now, effecting a healing and a cure. I trust God that His power is working. I'm healed by the power of God. Then that is faith speaking. Then that is faith speaking. So, don't underestimate the place of words. Jesus said in Matthew 12, He said, for every idle word a man will say, He said, he will give account. I thought I can just say anything. I just said, say for every idle word, we're going to give account of words, actions, because words mean a lot. Words mean a lot. Why do you think that the first action of God in the earth, recorded by Moses, is that he said? The first action of man in the earth was that he said something. Hallelujah. If you don't know what to say, shut up. Is that clear? Shut up. Shut up. Proverbs 18:20, 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love shall eat the fruit thereof. Now, of course, it's talking about not saying things that will damage people. But that means if it's not powerful, he won't say so. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. Hallelujah. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. You know, I remember I failed family fellowship then. I used to do something for people. When I catch them speaking doubt or speaking something funny, I put them into, I say, for everything you have said that is wrong, let's assume you spoke it for 1 hour. You are going to undo it for the next 2 hours. So you sit down and re-say it. Hallelujah. Not when I was very strong in that area. You re-say it, till that nonsense leaves your mind. Sometimes you even need to change your vocabulary. Some of us seems like I'm weak, I feel bad. You know, it is the major things we say in the day. I'm dying. I'm dying to see you. I said, please don't die to see me. You know, anything is a lie. Is a lie. Someone say, oh, you are blessed. Is a lie. And what you're trying to say is, wow. Must you say it's a lie? What you say is a lie? Say, wow. That's beautiful. I'm quick to believe positive things. What about you? I'm quick to believe positive things. I first of all believe that a miracle is true. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So check what you say. Have you tried to record the things you say in the day? You'll be shocked at the things you say. On your unguarded moments. On the school your words. If you can school how you preach, knowing that what you preach can determine a man's eternity, school how you talk generally. If you have nothing to say that is faith, that is of the power of God, then shut your trap. Hallelujah. Speak your word only, and my servant will be whole. He cast out the spirit with his word. Words have spiritual value. Did you hear me? Words have spiritual value. When Proverbs 22:6 says, train up the child in the way you go. Do you know I showed you before many times in the Hebrews, in the way of the mouth. 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 Sometimes your children can misbehave. They can do, you know, things otherwise. You could just say, well, I know you are going to serve God. I know you will walk in the light of God's word. And some people just feel like maybe I just being positive, like, funnily. And you see somebody that is behaving badly, I say, you know, you're a man of God. You're a woman of God. Me, I know. And you say it so often. So often. Let me tell you, they will rise to that level. They will rise to that level. Your body will also rise to the level of what you are saying. The pain will increase. But be steadfast in what you are saying. Don't just be dogged in preaching. Be dogged in also speaking God's word about yourself. Be that dogged. Be that dogged. Hallelujah. It's either the word works or it works. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? It's either the word works or it works. Be dogged. Be dogged about it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, this evening, I want you to put premium on how you speak. On the words that come out of your mouth. On the words that come out of your mouth. You know, yeah, there could be time you have lack and you don't have money. And of course, you tell your friends, well, you know, I don't have money and all that. But you know, you can close that statement by saying, but God supplies all my needs. You know, you can say that. Nobody will beat you if you say that. Though. You know, if you say that, nobody will beat you. If you are feeling a back pain and say, well, God's power is working and the pain is gone. You know, nobody is going to kill you for saying it. Eh? Nobody's going to kill you for saying it. Hallelujah. I told someone something. I said, okay, you're going to the doctor. And you say, I hope this thing does not kill me. I hope I won't die. I said, now wait. I said, let's look at it naturally. The thing is already paining you. Right? Whether if you say, it's paining me, will it go? He said, no. Will it go? He said, no. So, what if you say, the power of God is working? Oh, the pain is gone. I said, will it go? He now stopped. I said, you are still thinking. Okay, assuming it doesn't go, what will now happen? It will not go. If you say, yay, it will still not go. So, which is better to say? Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Hallelujah. Stop being realistic. Being realistic has not helped anybody. Hallelujah. See, if you are realistic, you will die a terrible death. Don't be realistic. If you are realistic, mosquito is what will kill you. Don't be realistic. My reality is God's word. So if you are realistic, you can't say you are born again. If you are realistic, how can you say you have the Holy Ghost? Where is the Holy Ghost? Show me the picture. You say you are a son of God. How? Go and do your DNA test. Why more bye-bye? You know your real father. That's being realistic. Okay? But you know I'm what the world says I am. Hallelujah. I am who the world says I am. I am what the world says I am. That is my reality. So don't be saying let's face reality. Not you and me. You face it. Let me face this side. You face reality. Hallelujah. If I face reality, 28 years ago, I would have died. I'm not going to face that reality with you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, we should get to a point where we'll do the word. A few years ago, we went to Ado Ekiti. I don't know whether you were in that thing. We went for a meeting. Pastor Lau was in that thing. So she fell ill. Badly ill. And I said to her, you know what? I came here to preach. I didn't come here to nurse anybody. We're not married though. Years before we married. So I'm going to leave you here. You know the word of God. If you die here, it's fine. But I'm sure you're not going to die. And if you die, I'll get somebody else to marry. Okay? My friend said, Emoji, you are wicked. I said, no, I just told her the truth. I'm not a doctor. I only know Bible. Hallelujah. I said, get up. She joined us. At least you saw her. Hallelujah. And I really left her there. I'm not joking, though. Praise God. I've changed a bit anyway. I left her there. Praise God. Then you come and join us. You see, the power of God is not debatable. We have seen it happen. You can't say you have seen God's power before. Then you now say, don't give any excuses. Act on it. Hallelujah. Stop facing reality. Is that clear? Take God's word on your lips. And know that God's word works. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I give no room for fear. Or doubt. Or unbelief. In my words. You know Matthew 5 says, let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Whatever is after this is sin. Don't say this here now. When you are in the car. Somebody will now call you. You now do lamentation for 45 minutes in traffic. See, that's double trouble. You see, whatever you say here now, say when you have left this place. Are you there? We are not just excited here. Hey, no! That's what we are going to say at night. When nobody is there. That's what we are going to say. When it is green and things are tough. That's what we are still going to say. Okay? When things go south. We are going to keep our lips glued to God's word. I am healed. I know I am healed. I'm feeling the pain, but I know I'm healed. The power of God is working. I know I'm healed. Hallelujah. 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 So make a decision this evening. This is 2020. Okay, let's even talk about New Year resolution. Okay? Whether it's a resolution or what else you have, impression. Whatever you like, say. Make a decision today. Right? Today. To change how you talk. You will not die if you are positive in how you talk. You won't die now. Who will beat you? Who is going to beat you? Nobody is going to beat you now. Praise God. Praise God. I remember when I was in school, a lecturer told me, he said, you know, there was this course I had felt I didn't have to do it. It was all this G. So he now told me, you think it was going to give me an extra year? So I went to meet the lecturer. I said, we've taken it to the Senate already. They signed on it. He said, he now said something. I was working with him. It was a dean. He said, accept a miracle. You know, people say miracle to tell you what's not possible. So I said, sir, I believe in miracles. Though. He looked at me like, Abori, but what are you opening? You came to help for help. You are bragging. I said, sir, I believe in miracles. Though. That's my area. Hallelujah. That's the part that I like. Miracles. You know, I believe in miracles. I believe in miracles. I don't just talk miracles. I believe in miracles. I believe in miracles. I believe in the miracles of healing. I believe in the miracles of healing. I believe in miracles. I believe the power of God is working in my body right now, effecting a healing. I'm bringing a cure. I am healed. Glory to God. Raise your hand and speak God's word. I'm healed. I'm healed. My liver is healed. My tummy is healed. My chest is healed. My throat is healed. I'm healed. My hand is healed. My back is healed. My knee is healed. I'm healed. Say it today. Say it tomorrow. Say it on Saturday. Say it every day. Say it every day. I am healed. Healed by the power of God. I believe in miracles. Salvation is a miracle. Righteousness is a miracle. The new birth is a miracle. The indwelling of the Spirit is a miracle. So I believe in miracles. I'm healed. Don't stop talking. Don't stop talking. Fear will die unborn till it's spoken. Look up. Let me tell you something. Amen. I'll share this later. You see, our confession is not to impress anybody. Always know that. It's not so that people will hear you. I don't care whether you hear me or not. Do you get it? Years ago, I said to some guys, I said, I can't fall. That's 28 years now. 27. I said, I can't fall. I'll mention their names for you. Right? Philip. Oh, I've forgotten his surname now. Then, Ayo Alaka, Tosin Alaka, Lanre, Omotosho. You can ask them what I've seen. They had a prayer meeting for me. They said, this guy is so proud. So they now asked me. I now went to them one day. They were praying for me. I said, stop praying for me. See what I told you, eh? Write it down. Write it down. I can't fall. They thought I was just bragging. I said, no, I'm not telling you. Anytime I'm walking alone, I say it. The day I read God's Generals, I said, this is rubbish. So I said, why? I said, I can't be found here. Amen. Is able to keep me from falling. Is able to keep that which I put in his trust at the very end. I will not fall. Hallelujah. So don't just sing it in song and lift your hands. About midnight, say it. 4 a.m., say it. Driving, say it. You know, what about your car going boom? You had a car, a bash. A car, boom. Say, glory to God. So I said, let's go about what? Because the power of God is still working. You know, you should say, yay! Say, glory to God. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. He's Lord. Glory to God. I'd rather say that than say something else. Hallelujah. Change your words to align with what God is saying. Glory to God. Just lift your hands and speak God's word again. You know, it's a great year. A fruitful year. A year full of obedience, full of the power of God, full of miracles, full of healing, full of God's provisions. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. A year filled with thanksgiving. Don't just say it in the service. Say it alone. Say when you are driving, you are being driven. Don't impress anybody what you are saying. No. I got nobody to impress. I got the devil to to oppress. Speak God's word. Come on. Your words matter. Your pastor's words are good, but your words are better. According to your faith, be it unto you. According as you have believed. No matter how bad the sickness is, believe God. Believe God. Believe God. Believe God. Amen. Before we round up, let me just share a story. Just a personal story. You know, when I used to be very sick. In fact, there's someone here who used to be my doctor. I used to go to his hospital on my own and then admit myself. When I began to learn divine healing, I started setting a target. I said, well, next 30 days, I won't use drugs. Next 30 days, I'll stay healed. Now, I'd already been sick for long, so 30 days for me was a big deal. So when 30 days was over, I said, okay, next 60 days. Hallelujah. So I'll consciously in the morning just wake up, speak God's word. Listen to the word of God about healing. You know, gradually like that, I did one whole year. Then 2 years. Then 3 years. It started counting. Amen. And something about miracles is that when one happens, it gives you confidence for another one. There's something about, I've never seen a miracle before. You will say, this thing has happened before. Now it can happen again. Hallelujah. So you know you can do the same thing. Say 30 days, I'll be pain free. When the pain comes, I'll send it back. I'll set today, January the 2nd till January 31st. I'll act on God's word every day. And I'll keep 30 days of January free of disease. You know, at the end of January, you sit back and say, praise God. Let me set till March. You can do the same. Amen. Till you are able to generally walk in divine healing, both consciously and unconsciously. Now, don't forget what I've always said. Seeing a doctor and having a doctor see you or even give you medication, in no way is unbelief. 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 But you know what? Don't put your trust in natural things. Use them as much as you can. Put your faith in the supernatural. Because the natural has its own limits. Is that very clear? I believe in the power of God. I believe in the power of God. Put your hands and just thank Him. You are the Lord that healeth me. You are the Lord my healer. You've sent your word. You've sent. I'm healed from disease. I'm healed from disease. You are the Lord. I